and with the social media, television, whatever, Sodom and Gomorrah are in all our backyards. But God did always have a plan for His people, and He is always taking care of His truth. And I'm going to, the way this came to me was, as I studied, so I'm going to talk about defending truth. Because I believe if we are a Christian, we will promote God. We can't promote God without promoting His truth. And to be able to promote His truth, we need to have knelt at the foot of the cross. We need to understand what God has done for us. Thinking back in the time of the Anabaptists, some of the worst persecution came from so-called Christians. So what was wrong where they were saying they were serving God when they were killing other people? Wasn't it that their experience with God didn't go all the way? Or if it did, they had fallen back. So I'm going to start out in John. It's a very familiar verse. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I'm going to read a few verses past that. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Verse 19 yet. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." I'm going to read through the 21st verse. "And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought with God." And as we all look at our hearts tonight, today, this afternoon, can we say that we fit in this category? And if we can't, we're in trouble. And you know, the first couple of verses there are really popular. If we go into almost any church in this land, those verses are familiar. It's God's love. And we don't want to do any, I don't want to do anything today to diminish God's love. And we'll talk about God's love. But the last of that passage is not near as popular. We can't, and I just appreciate the brother's topic, we can't serve God and not be holy. We just can't separate it. And yet, religious people down through time have done that over and over again. I want to look at, to get started out here, I want to look at Psalm 119. I know if I ask for a raise of hands, everybody in this building believes the Word of God. We believe that there's things that I look forward to understanding in eternity that I don't understand now, but I have the faith. God works with me. I have the faith to accept what my mind can't grasp. That's not something that comes one time and then it's over. Something we need to renew. Psalm 119:89. "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." That's a verse to cling to. The same as John 3:16 is. Also verse 151. "Thou art near, O Lord, and Thy commandments are truth." So what God says, He means. When we talk to people, I'm noticing in the last couple of years, we've moved out of our Mennonite community where we work. For years, we worked close home, and we moved out west to Appomattox, better known as the place where the Civil War ended. And there's no close Anabaptist church. There's some not too far away. And so people wonder, who are you? And the word spreads, the Mennonites are coming. There's three crews of us and that can work in that area. And we have some interesting conversations. There's a disconnect from the Word of God to the average person in America, especially young people. Maybe it's different in your communities, but I think this is where we are. I think there could be a lot of reasons for that. When the Bible was taken out of school, the older retired school teachers still talk about that. And how some of them have tried to keep it up a little bit, and they just can't do it. It's not going to happen. It's going to get you in trouble. And so we have a group of young people. I still consider myself young. I'm 42. My peers, not necessarily Christians, but the people that I relate to, they're in my age group, on down into the 30s. They say there is a difference between what's coming out of our schools now than what came out when we were there. And the Bible says times are going to get worse. So what we know, that God's word will stand forever. That's not an issue with this group. How do we live our life so that we can relate that to the world? How do we... We're the only Bible that a lot of our friends see and what we talk to them. And there is hurting people. There is an appreciation for the Bible way if the life matches that inconsistency. If you just take up a document, you go tell them that God created the world, He did it in 7 days. You know, it has to have a life to back that up. It's been a few years. My wife picked up a used Bible storybook from one of the secondhand stores. And she was going to start reading it to see if it was something we wanted to have in our home. And it started out with creation. And it said this, it had a footnote in it, had the creation story. It was not written as the Bible read it. As the Bible records it, it was close. And then it had a footnote. It said, not commonly accepted by Christian people anymore. Okay, so where does that put us? So I did some asking some of my religious friends, and you know, it's out there. It really is. So where did that put us when homosexuality came to the front burner? If you don't stand on the Word of God, where are you going to start standing? I think we proved over and over again that you won't stand through history. You may disagree with me on this, but I do enjoy the things of nature that point back to God. But the only way we're going to prove the Word of God is, number one, we're going to have faith in Him ourselves. God does work with people. He leads people along. But we have to have faith in it ourselves. We're going to have to prove it by our walk. And I don't mean that we go out and live so holy that we stand out. I mean that we kneel at the foot of the cross and we realize what Jesus has done for us. And as a result for that, we're a servant. It's so easy as religious people to have God our servant. We have a very religious friend. He tells me, he says, I just don't understand why y'all don't drink. He said, the Bible doesn't forbid it. I said, forbids drunkenness though, right? Yeah, it does. He said, but God and me are fine that I drink. That's a really dangerous state. And I think we need to look in our hearts and see if we're making excuses. We are fine if we're in God's will and we don't decide God's will, God does. And His ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah brings that out. Let's turn to that, Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. All of us, as we go through life, are going to experience some hard things. There's going to be some partings that are hard for us to accept. The more, the closer we get to this verse, as life hits us, the better we're going to make it. Brother Claire put a sign on our church. Sign, I think it's been some time ago. It said, God is more concerned with our eternal comfort than our... I think I'm saying that wrong. God is more concerned with our eternal future than our present comfort. I believe it was something like that. Isn't that what this verse is saying? My ways aren't your ways. I know what you need to help you on to glory. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 2 says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that it may keep the commandments of the Lord, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor, for the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But along with God's concern for the truth, that we maintain the truth of his word, he gives us the verse in 1 John chapter 3. I'll start reading to verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And I can remember one of our preachers, he's gone now, standing up and talking about this verse. He said, you know, there's going to be some times in life where if we just look at God's love, let me back up a little bit. If we just look at God's love and don't expect holiness from ourselves and our brethren, starting with ourselves, we're going to get in trouble. But God isn't looking to cut us off. I think that's what he's saying. And the devil likes nothing better than to take a Christian, say new Christians, it happens to older Christians too, and destroy their peace. That's what God's telling us here, I believe, is that God is greater than our heart. And that's where we go back to the basis that the truth is permanent. And then we can go back to John 3:16, and God says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That's the basis that we have, assurance. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. I don't know how many of you have seen Brother Morris Yoder's presentation. I think he's been to Dublin. Am I right on that, Sam? He's been in our area twice. And I would recommend it to anybody. If you have time and it suits him, and I don't know what all his schedules are, but he does such a good job with taking astronomy and stuff, verses from the Bible. There's one that really stood out to me in Job 38. Verse 31. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? So he had the church house dark, and he had his projector up his screen, and he was showing us Orion. And he said, if you go back to Job, you know, this is what God said. He says, we're talking about Orion's belt. And he said, those three stars in that belt, he said, they're getting farther apart. He said, they're getting farther apart. He said, that's what God was telling Job. He says, is this what you can do? He goes on and shows the order in a piece the magnitude. I don't think we can come anywhere near close to grasping how big the heavens are. He goes on just verse after verse, and God, where God talked and what they found, and there's so much that they haven't found. He goes on, I think it's in the, maybe the late 80s, they put a, I guess a satellite with a camera. And that thing is going out and going out and going out. And so they finally had it turn around and take a picture back at Earth. And with the, it's beautiful pictures. It's beautiful. It's more than we can describe. Way back there, way far away, is a little dot, just maybe a little bit bigger than a pencil eraser. Small, a lot smaller than a golf ball, and that's Earth. So what do we tell our friends when they question the creation story with a story that makes no sense? Do we hang our heads? Does it? You know, if we don't stand up for God, it's going to be a lot harder the next time. That's been my experience. And with what Brother Harry said this morning, I've had those moments. I know exactly what he's talking about. I'm pretty sure Harry and me aren't the only one that have had them. And I think that what helps me is to go back to what God did for us. We become harsh in our judgments when we lose sight of God. And I know I'm hammering that, but I just think that's where it starts. We can become lax too, and that's wrong. But if we don't realize where we were, and that we're back on that little dot, way back there, then we become harsh. We expect more out of those under us than we expect out of ourselves. In Jeremiah 36, verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudah read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast them into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the wood was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor his servants that heard these words. Now you get a picture of a king that was so hardened, it just didn't matter. It just, they weren't scared. This is what they were doing. He was sitting there by the fire. I'm sure he was warm. Whatever his circumstances were, he just cut it and throw it in the fire. Cut it and throw it in the fire. It's hard for us to imagine doing that. I'll tell you a story. My dad's roots started in the Shenandoah Valley. Because of one of my aunt's health problems, they moved farther west. My dad was born in 27, so he married late in life. And they ran out there. My dad was the next youngest. He had two twin sisters. I don't know what all the church situation was. I know some of the family stayed conservative Mennonites and some didn't. His two sisters lost out. The coverings got smaller. And my dad used to talk about that. The coverings got smaller, and you know how it progresses. And pretty soon there was a little doily. Finally, there wasn't any doily except they went to church Sunday morning. Then there wasn't any doily any time. But they still weren't cutting their hair. Finally, they started cutting their hair. And his sister came and stayed at my parents' place. I guess that was maybe in the late 80s. It was before I was married. She had Alzheimer's. Her days of functioning were over. And it was really, really hard on my dad, because she was still fighting that battle of the covering. As far as her mind was gone, she was still fighting that battle of the covering. And you know, at some point in time, she sat by that fire and she cooked. I think that's a serious for all of us. I don't think anybody here is immune if we don't go back to what God has done for us. If we don't stand for it. Let's turn on to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll start reading to verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What do we do with this, with these verses today? I don't know how it goes for y'all. We had the Ken Miller trial. Ken Miller was from Virginia. I'm sure y'all knew that. But what all came down there, it got into our news some. And so people asked, what do you think about that? What do we think about that? What is our response? Number one, there is a strong reaction with a lot of people as far as a hatred toward homosexual people. A Christian doesn't hate anybody. I think that's where we start. We don't desire to harm anybody. You know, some of the states that are trying to protect Christian businessmen are really catching a backlash. And you wonder, what is happening to our country? How did this happen so fast? I understand here that they dealt with it then too. There was wickedness then too. I do think there is some differences for today with the speed of this stuff that travels. I try to be very, very careful when this conversations come up, and they do come up. They will come up. And I'm sure y'all are running into the same thing. Number one, we don't hate anybody. Number two, we believe John 3:16 is for anybody that desires it. And then where do we go? Bible says, verse 11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's our answer to sin today. No matter what sin it is, that's our answer. It's you run into a lot of things. There's some people that say, yeah, I think you're right. There's some people that say, you're wrong. You haven't seen what I've seen. Well, I have this passage. But there's some people that say, you're wrong. And there's some people that say, well, I don't like it. My grandpa went back to the church that Amelia originally started from in Deep Creek in the late 90s. And there was a homosexual man up in there. It was a liberal conference, Mennonite church, Virginia conference. There was a man up leading songs, and he was homosexual. And my grandpa was, as we say, he was fit to be tied. And so one of his old friends that stayed down there, he said, what about this? He said, well, I don't believe in that. He said, but it's in your church. Well, he says, but I don't believe in it. He said, I don't have anything to do with it. But he said, it's in your church. He says, yeah. He said, I know it is. I know it is. One of our clients is a Presbyterian. And he told me, he said, we have this little church out here in the country. He said, we've got a nice congregation. He said, we want to believe the Bible. We want to follow the Bible. And he said, it comes down from the top. But this is, we're ordaining these kind of people. And he said, what are we going to do with it? And I asked him, I said, what are you going to do with it? He says, well, you know, he says, we're tied into this district. And he said, our churches don't have enough money to make it by themselves. So he said, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with it. I think we know what they're going to do with it. And yet God's word never changes. Closing, let's turn to Jude. first verse says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He goes on to say there was other people coming in. What I want out of this is that we earnestly contend for the faith. We've been given a gift that is more than we deserve, the greatest gift in the world. I don't think we can just go. I know we can't. We can't just go sit on it. We're going to have to live it. And when the opportunity arises, and they come, then we need to speak a word for God. In Revelation chapter 2, the first church he wrote to, Church of Ephesus. I'll just read a couple of verses here. Verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. I think it's important that we share and not argue. I think that's really important. We stand our ground for the Word of God, for what He's done for us. But we're not here to prove that we're a better person. We're not here to prove we're better at arguing. We're here to stand on the Word of God that'll never change. Let's keep working together. Let's keep laboring for God as till that day approaches when we go home.